Paul.
Set you up for that one. You're good.
Yeah.
All right, we are still, I just checked my list. We're still expecting a couple more communities. So it's just now 1 p.m. So I'm going to speak a little slowly. And here we go, see what happens. Hi, did somebody just join?
Hi, it's Julie from the Claims Conference.
Hey, Julie, thank you. And Courtney. Is Courtney from Columbus? No? Okay. Courtney just went black again. Courtney, can you... Oh, she muted herself. All right. All right.
All right, sorry about that.
Hi, Courtney. Okay. What agency are you from?
I'm from Jewish Family and Children's Service of Greater Philadelphia.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. All right, and we've got SBG. Who's SBG? No South clue who that is. I'm sorry?
Maybe it's South Palm Beach?
No, I don't think so. All right, Kaylee is somebody who I had connected with, I think is from Gulf Coast. Oh, and Faye is from Atlanta. We have Atlanta on as well. All right. I'm going to start the meeting now. We are recording so that if you're joining late and you missed something, you could always listen to the recording. My name is Ruben Rotman. I'm the CEO of the network. And I'm here to welcome you. This is the second of two information meetings that we're holding regarding the Jewish Poverty Challenge. And I know there's a lot of material that went out in writing. And there is also a list on our website of frequently asked questions. And I'm just going to acknowledge that we have several communities represented today. We have Columbus, we have Detroit, we have Baltimore, we have Atlanta, we have Atlanta County, New Jersey. I believe we also have Philadelphia. And we're expecting Clearwater and also Pittsburgh. We also had in our previous call another 10 communities or so. So the initiative is generating quite a bit of interest, which is great. The format for today's call is that we're going to present you with a general overview and a bit of an insider's perspective, we think, about the challenge. We're going to speak for about 20 minutes to a half hour or so, and then we're going to open it up for questions and discussion. There is a chat feature with Zoom. You are welcome to type your questions in, and we are going to add them to the list of frequently asked questions so that everybody, whether they're on this call or not, can see questions that are asked and answers that we are providing. And as I mentioned earlier, we're also recording the call if you, you know, have nothing else going on and you want to listen to this again, you can. So I want to first explain that the Jewish Poverty Challenge is an initiative of the Network Center for Information and Research. And it really came about out of an understanding that the dynamics of Jewish poverty are a pretty complicated challenge in our network. And so we are looking to help agencies advance some very bold, aggressive, and creative efforts to do what they can to address this challenge. To move their communities forward, to move the needle simply. The initiatives, and we'll get into a lot more detail, the initiatives that are proposed through this process don't have to be new for your community. They could be to improve an existing initiative, or they could be new. They could involve a new collaboration or a new way of doing something, or they could just build on some efforts going on in your community that leads you to want to create something new altogether. So there's lots of different ways to go here. For those of you who attended our conference, our annual conference in Atlanta, we kicked off this initiative with a very mini version of the challenge, which was featured during one of our open plenary sessions. For those of you who participated in that mini version, which we'll go into more detail about explaining what we did, and you want to build on what you did there, that's great. If you don't want to do anything with what you did there, that's also fine. That's also great. If you weren't in attendance and did not participate in that, don't feel like you're missing out. There's no preferential, treatment for those who were there or who participated. That was simply an exercise to begin to understand the tools of innovation and entrepreneurship. And, it's not necessary that you were involved with that to participate in this. Before I pass the agenda on, I just want to introduce the consultants who are working with our network to implement the challenge. First, Andre Folks, who is with Startco. Startco is a venture development organization that is based in Memphis, Tennessee. They work with early stage startup technology companies, but they also, because they're based in Memphis, they do a tremendous amount of work in the space of poverty. And they work with a range of municipalities and nonprofits and the for-profit sector in trying to address the dynamics of poverty. And so it's with that background that Starco is with us. And we also have the good fortune of working with Mike Mazenter. Many of you know Mike, because he's been working with our network for close to 2 years now. Mike is the principal with a firm called BizLogics in Columbus. And he's been working with us to establish our Center for Innovation and Research. He's been doing a lot of individual conversations with most of the member agencies in our network, getting to know them and what they do in this space that we call innovation. Mike has a lot of experience working in both the public and the nonprofit sector, and also was the CEO of Jumpstart America, where he worked with communities that were dealing with some serious economic challenges to help them develop, fund, and implement plans to create or accelerate entrepreneurship-based economic development. So both Mike and Andre bring the background of innovation and entrepreneurship, which is the lens that this challenge is based on. And they also bring an understanding of working in the nonprofit sector, and in particular with dynamics associated with poverty. I also want to acknowledge that participating in today's meeting are representatives of the network's board of directors, who are serving on what we are calling our Grants and Opportunities Committee. These individuals do not represent member agencies, but they're working with me and with Mike and with Andre to review and evaluate the applications that are submitted, and will be helping us to make decisions about ultimately who is accepted through this challenge. Before I turn it over, I also want to note that this is year one of a two-year initiative. We're hoping to identify anywhere from 1 to 3 agencies this year, and 1 to 3 different agencies next year. So just know about that. Mike, just want to point out for all who reference in terms of especially today's call, Mike is not part of the selection process at all. Mike's wife, many of you may know, is Karen Mosenter, who's the CEO, incoming CEO in a few weeks at JFS Columbus. So Mike is a resource who ultimately is going to be working directly with the successful communities, but he's not participating in the selection process for this challenge. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Andre, who I think is going first. Again, just reminding you, if you've got a question, the chat box. If you don't have a question, you can still chat in the chat box if you want to. Okay, Andre.
Great. Thank you there, Ruben, for that great backdrop to why we're on the call today. And also thank you, Mike, for the opportunity for introducing me to the overall network here. A little bit of background on myself. I know I've met several of you at the conference, but others I have not. My background originally is in financial services, started out on the floor of the Cotton Exchange and the World Trade Center, became an investment advisor after that through Guardian Life Insurance, working with small businesses and private clients, moved to the West Coast where I worked for a money manager in Fisher Investments and institutional money management and also a private client, but also got the opportunity at that point to start investing in startups through an agency in Merrill Lynch out in North Carolina. Moved back to Memphis, my hometown, about 12 years ago, where my partner, Eric Matthews, and myself started our organization, Startco, where we started investing in startup companies. From there, our organization started to grow because we had to meet basically a lot of the talent who were in this Memphis community who were bringing in a lot of civic and social ideas. And so today, Startco is a venture development organization that has clients that are nonprofits, startups, governments, municipalities, and corporations. We're all trying to go through an entrepreneurial building process, whether that's for companies that they are launching or efforts that they are launching or the talent that they are working with in their communities. As Ruben was talking about before, we're looking for ideas in this program, either new ideas or existing programs where you have an idea to make them better or to improve them. And that's kind of the main premise here. We're still looking to target a vulnerable Jewish population that you're serving in your communities. We understand that many of your ideas may not be fully baked, and that's the whole purpose of the program, to spend some time with you and help you grow those ideas into hopefully strong programs or services that you can execute on in your communities. Startco serves really as a guide. We're here to provide accountability. We have experience in ideation and problem discovery, prototyping different service models that you have, putting together better growth and operational plans. And we have experience in working with over 100 to 150 nonprofit or social organizations. And as Ruben was talking about, we're based in Memphis, and Memphis has a lot of challenges economically, in particular being, you know, from time to time, the number one impoverished community in America. And that brings in a lot of other challenges in terms of education and also in terms of crime. And so many times in our community, we're being brought in to bring an innovative thought leadership and also building principles to make sure the nonprofit sector isn't left behind from what the for-profit sector many times is doing out there from an innovation standpoint. As I go through a little bit more of an explanation of what the program is, also keep in mind that we have a team of 10 people here that are at your disposal. So if you're one of the organizations that are selected, we have a wide variety of backgrounds, whether that's in building out service models, whether that's in business experience, whether that's in marketing and support, and we can go on. But we just want to let you know that you're getting our team at your disposal. I'm the primary point of contact, but those who are selected will have that disposal to our team. So now I'm going to spend a little bit of time walking you through what this incubation process looks like. There's three phases of it. The first is what we call the customer discovery phase. The second is what we call the service delivery phase. And the third is the dollars phase. And I'm going to start with customer discovery. Many times we don't want to be 100% reliant on just the market research that we've done, primary or secondary, that sits out there. we want to actually take our idea or our concept and have customer interviews with our different customer segments that are out there. And I think you have to think through on your end, who are your customers? Who are the clients that you serve and how are you doing? And you want to actually take them through a series of questions around the concept. And there's four hypotheses that we want to test. The first one is the problem hypothesis. We have an idea of what the problem is, but does our client actually agree with us? What do they disagree? And can we gather that feedback? Then we want to actually talk about the solution. And many times we have lots of ideas about our solution. And what we want to try to find is what we call the minimum viable product, meaning what are the 20% of those ideas that satisfies 80% of your clients. And we want to test that by having conversation with them, get their feedback, figure out what they agree with or don't disagree with. But then more importantly, what are things that we have not thought about? And once you have established the problem and have also got feedback on the solution, it doesn't mean that we have a program or a service yet. We then want to also do discovery around price or value. Who's willing to pay for this? If it is not our client, then will others step up in the community to support this, whether it's foundations, whether it's partners that you work with? Is there a business model that sits in there? And we want to do discovery around that so that way we just don't launch prematurely. And even if we are able to get good feedback in terms of support financially, we still don't have a service or a program yet. We have to then think about how we will reach our clients and adoption and fitting into their behavior. And so those are the four hypotheses that we really want to work with you on as you go through the discovery phase: problem, solution, price or value, and then go to market and fitting into the behavior of your clients. And what we recommend is having 50 customer interviews per each customer segment. And we recommend doing that in subsets of 10. You go out there and you talk to 10 customers and you bring the feedback and we triage it together. We go over what that feedback is, we digest it, and we apply it to the actual product or service that you are building. Sometimes that reshapes the questions that you have for the next set of clients that you go talk to. And what happens is your original idea that you have starts to shift a bit. And that's what we want. We want, through the customer discovery process, you to get real customer feedback so that your idea starts to shift and change. Now, as you go through that discovery process, it can be very frustrating sometimes, and that's where we're there. Many times what you may be hearing from your customer, we may hear it in a different way, and we help you triage through that feedback. The key is to move forward and really get ready for what we call the delivery phase. And that really comes down to, can you actually build out the service or the program that you are talking about? I know many times we just want to raise the dollars and launch. But the number one reason for failure is premature execution. And so we actually want to draw it out. Can we run a simulation, an experiment, a test? We've worked with a variety of organizations, even running an event to see who might show up. And even if you could only run a workshop during that event, that is still valuable feedback that you can bring back to the equation in terms of when you launch fully this program or service. And so we spend quite a bit of time with you actually crafting the intervention, running some experiments, and then hopefully putting that prototype in the hands of your customers to get more feedback. The reason for the discovery and the delivery process is really to help you tighten your assumptions. Many times our assumptions are only based on what we know in our brains or the research that we find when we're out there online or out in the community. But we want to base our assumptions on more than that. Feedback from real customers, and then feedback from the experiments of those customers using what we have prototyped or built. Once you get those tighter assumptions, we really then start moving into what we call the dollars phase. And the dollars phase is really thinking through, how do we put the right plan together so that we might be able to bring on the resources that we want. This is very, very important. And this is where we really dig into your service model, a growth plan, operational components. Have we thought through your information systems, management systems? Who are the suppliers that are working with you out there, and how do we build better relationships with them? And so those are the three areas that we spend a lot of time with you on: this discovery, delivery, and dollars phase. And at the same time, we're really thinking through the civic landscape. The civic landscape is very challenging. And we spend quite a bit of time with you thinking through what does that environment look like. And many times we fail to do an assessment of the landscape. So we actually do an assessment of your civic landscape and the communities that you are with, that you are building in. But also we add a few other layers to the discovery process that I was describing to you. We spend quite a bit of time with you doing what we call system and civic discovery. Who are the other partners in your community that are also providing similar services or aligned services? Do we understand exactly what they do? And what is our relationship with them? Many times we find great misalignment with our partners in our community, and sometimes that handicaps our interventions before we even get started. And so through that system and civic discovery, we uncover some other things that we need to take care of in addition to our core program and our service. And if it's appropriate, we spend a lot of time doing what we call predictive discovery. Some of you have found solutions in data mining and really understanding that through that data mining, you've uncovered an opportunity. And those are the things that you want to pursue. Why is this all important? Because many times we're dealing with a challenged landscape where there's a lot of entrenched thinking. There's a lot of prescriptive funding that follows that entrenched thinking. And many times we find ourselves with incumbent providers who many times are trying to hold on to a lot of the dollars that exist out there. And so what we're trying to work with you on is how do you open more space so that your intervention can walk through and better serve the community. A lot of this is based on a social innovators toolkit that we use. And this is based on a book that we reference and will utilize called The Power of Social Innovation. This is written by Stephen Goldsmith. And if you Google The Power of Social Innovation, it will pop up. And there is a toolkit associated with that URL. And so we use this. We are approved instructors of the toolkit. And we use this to work with you in addition to that discovery, delivery, and dollars phase. So that's a little bit of background, and I thought it might be good to give you an example of how we have helped a couple of social organizations in the past through this process. One in particular in Memphis was the Shelby County Public Defender's Office, who reached out to us with the major problem that many of their public defenders had a high caseload of over 950 cases a year. And what they were trying to do was they had an idea to come up with a better triage system and teamwork system where many of these lawyers could work together to maybe hopefully work through the caseload with some economies of scale. And as we went through a discovery process together, what they underestimated was there was a lot of pride that these lawyers had in their caseload, and they weren't as collaborative as they were hoping that they wanted them to be. And what became very obvious was most of the lawyers had recommended that if they wanted to make their life easier, could they stem the tide out in the community of all these cases that are coming in? And so we went through a discovery and delivery process with them, and they decided that they wanted to create a division of government that would focus on that, looking at expungements, looking at participatory defense options, opportunities for bail funds and things of that nature. And what they also then realized was there's a lot of bureaucracy within government, a lot of red tape and the slow motion of government that they ultimately came to a decision to open up a nonprofit organization outside the walls of government that would be solely focused on these types of things. And so through a process of several months of where they came in with a triage idea of getting more lawyers to work together, we ended up helping them build a nonprofit organization outside the walls of government that is solely tasked with stemming the tide of the caseload that's coming in. And it's taken many, many years, but now they're also starting to see some decent results in terms of one, caseloads coming down, but also the types of cases that are coming through are much more easier for them to work with. And this has come through collaboration in the community, other partner organizations, bringing other forms of assistance in, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's just an example of one organization that we worked with through this process. I'm going to shift a little bit now into, you know, how the process works and some logistics. Typically, we would look at having a level set meeting with the organizations that we chose to work with. And what does that mean? It's a meeting where we spend a couple hours with you asking a lot of questions so we can get a better understanding of where your organization is at. And we want to make sure that we have a baseline. We're all in agreement of kind of the gaps that exist. And then we set some milestones to move forward. And that helps us better go through that discovery and delivery phase that I was talking about before. Then we spend quite a bit of time going through that process and helping you design and build out your service model. And we actually are directly involved and engaged with your team helping you through this process. Many times we'll share with you educational content and resources that we have at our disposal in hoping to help you move forward. Overall, we're looking to work with 2 to 3 of you this year and 2 to 3 of you next year. And it just really depends on the demand and the readiness of your agencies out there in the community. In terms of evaluation criteria, there's about 4 different components that we look at. First, the idea. And we want to understand better how feasible it is, the market demand for that idea, the operational components that are involved, the opportunity for scale, and also making sure that we're serving Jewish populations that are out there. That is something that is very and extremely important to us. Second, we're looking at the team. And we are hoping to see that, hey, how do you prove to us that you can actually build what you're talking about? We're here to provide assistance through that process, but can you quantify your experience in building things and executing? At the same time, your experience in the industry and being able to navigate the social or civic landscape that you're building in, that is also very, very important to us. Readiness is also something that's very important. Understanding your bandwidth and being able to take something like this on. Who are the dedicated team members that are going to be working on your idea? And also, is this the right time? Is the right time today, or maybe the right time is a couple of months from now? We want you to be thinking that through because we want you in best position to dedicate the time and need for this particular intervention that you have in your minds. And then finally, collaborations. What's your experience in building collaborations to help you better achieve success and your goals? Or do you have existing collaborations or partnerships that would strengthen how you might move forward with this particular intervention? These are also things that are very important to us. We're in the middle of doing these information sessions right now to hopefully provide more information, but also answer questions that you might have. You know, the application is open right now on that, but feel free to go ahead and start your applications through that process. And we'll be working with you, you know, as you have those questions through that process here. We're putting together an FAQ as well. So as we get these questions via these Zoom meetings, we'll be adding your questions to that FAQ. That way, if there's something that you forgot about today, you could go back and read them on the FAQ going forward. And we'll be updating that as we move forward here.
Yeah, the FAQ is already up on the website, so, you know, there's a list of questions already there, but we'll add to it moving forward.
Perfect, perfect. And so that's a brief background on what we're doing here and what the program is all about. I'm just going to throw out there, I didn't know if Mike had a couple of thoughts that he wanted to add, and then we can obviously move into more question and answers.
Yeah, thanks, Andre. There are two points I'd like to make. One is you might conclude from the words that we use that we're talking, it sounds like maybe we're talking about social enterprises, revenue-generating enterprises, but we want to make it clear that this is not just about those types. When we think about a business model, when we use the term business model, we're looking for dollars to support what you're doing, and those dollars can come from a philanthropic organization, those dollars can come from government, or those dollars can come, you know, in a traditional revenue model. So don't restrict yourself in terms of just bringing social enterprises to the table. Also, Andre mentioned collaborations. Sustainable elevations out of poverty depend on being able to kind of anticipate and insulate clients against kind of a wide range of vulnerabilities. So think really long and hard about how you're going to do this, in large part by integrating what you're doing with other collaborative organizations, because it'd be the rare organization that has the resources or the expertise to be able to do that. The last point is think about this ambitiously. As Andre said, you know, almost no one's raw idea survives completely intact the process, and that's a good thing. A lot of people at the Poverty Challenge at the conference really went at things that are kind of the unsolvable. Well, housing is a good example. But through those ambitious goals and this process come dramatically improved solutions, even if they're not the one that you first came up with. So don't constrain yourself by too much practicality right out of the blocks. We want people to kind of really reach on this and see what they can accomplish through this process. That's really it for me. So I guess if you have questions at this point, we'd be happy to answer them.
I would also just add, before we open it up to full questions, that we aren't necessarily looking for responses to address the full dynamics of Jewish poverty. You might choose to zero in on one aspect, like housing or transportation or your partnerships or lack thereof with community rabbis, or what's going on with your relationship with other organizations in the community that are also in the same space of responding to Jewish poverty. So, you know, we're not looking for like the big, huge, you know, solution to every challenge out there. You may choose to zero in on one aspect, perfectly fine. Okay, with that, we're gonna open it up. Again, there's a chat box if you're shy, or even if you're not shy, or you could just unmute yourself, or I could unmute you, and you could ask a question to the group if you have a question that you'd like to pose.
So I'll jump in. In looking at the application that's on there, if organizations are going to approach this collaboratively, does one organization have to be the lead? How do you want us to approach that?
I think we've had some internal discussion on that. I think, yes, it would be good if there was a lead, you know, in terms of the application process, but we're highly encouraging collaborations in communities as well. But in terms of having that lead to be able to interface with would be vital.
Any other questions?
This is Andre. I have another thought based on Ruben's comments earlier. Many times we think that the solution has to be this innovative program or service, and many times it doesn't have to be. When you're crafting your intervention, it could be, and we spoke with many of you when we did our homework and our discovery and some calls with you, how you are able to realign partners in a very unique way that allowed for the realignment of partners is something that we think is very phenomenal as well. The other piece is, are there any ways that you can fill the management gap, any processes or systems or things of that nature that allow you to do your job better? Those are things we're looking for as well. And we've also seen how many of you have been able to align volunteers and donor pipelines in better ways to support your organization. So it always doesn't have to be the program or service. There could be other interventions that sit out there as well. So just wanted to make sure you understood that.
And as an example, Andre's example about the public defender's office, they could deal with the problem once a person walks through the door, which is a later intervention, or as they ultimately came up with a nonprofit, they chose to engage with people before the crisis had occurred, before they found themselves needing a public defender. You can kind of use information to engage earlier. You can use partners to engage earlier. There are a whole bunch of different ways to bring an innovation to the table. And as Ruben said, pick a slice of the problem that you feel like you can make a difference on. A distinct segment of the Jewish community facing a unique set of circumstances is probably a whole lot better way to go than, excuse me, as Ruben said, targeting poverty.
Um, building on that, that the idea that I know this is framed around Jewish poverty, and I saw in the, it's supposed to be at least 50% of the targeted clients are Jewish. Is that, I guess I'm thinking about for our, if we're going to be testing out something, we want to frame it so that 50% of the population is Jewish, but at least for, in some smaller communities where the Jewish population is smaller, the way we're going to have the greatest impact is if we're looking at poverty a little more broadly, but of course in a way that affects the Jewish community. So I guess I'm just wondering if it's okay to frame it, if we're kind of framing this testing so that we're making sure that at least half of the population is Jewish, but kind of the bigger picture is broader. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yes, it does. That absolutely makes sense. It also makes sense given your community. And so that type of a response, it would be perhaps a different situation in a different community where the Jewish community may be larger or where the agency may be serving a significantly higher percentage of the Jewish community. But even if you're not serving a large percentage, we want to make sure that there are aspects of this or dynamics of this or sensitivities to the needs of the Jewish community in your community, and that Jewish community clients could benefit from whatever intervention you're proposing.
Great.
We know that there's not one size fits all in this issue. And we also know, and I think that's universal no matter what size community you are, that the Jewish community faces some unique stigma issues and some unique obstacles, which really make access to resources a little bit more complicated. And there are also, as you know, it doesn't matter again what size community you're in, there are some dynamics between other Jewish institutions that may be providing support, meaning rabbis, and Jewish human service agencies that make this a challenge sometimes for agencies to have to address. And so we are interested in understanding how whatever you're proposing will play itself out in the Jewish community.
Another point that I think we might want to make here is that even though this is structured as a challenge or a bit of a competition, that's really not how we want to implement it. We're going to get lots of great ideas through this, and our goal will be to do what we can to help, you know, as many as possible move along. And one of the benefits that we've had in being able to both the knowledge Ruben has about what people are doing, the knowledge we've captured about some of the innovative programs that are going on across the network. At a minimum, as you bring your ideas to us, we're going to want to make as many connections as possible. There are lots of folks around the network who, if we have some experience in a lot of these areas, and we want to make sure that at a minimum, that experience gets shared to help you kind of advance your models. So in addition to kind of the going out and doing customer discovery and testing, we will do our best to put you in touch with groups who have some experience with some aspect of the model that you're trying to put together.
Right. And I'll just add that there are communities who have told us they're interested in this effort, but they know already this is not the right time for their agency because of other things going on in their agency. We are going to be doing a lot of network sharing of what comes out of this process. So for those agencies that decide not to participate this go around, they're going to be able to learn from what other communities are doing. That's absolutely part of what we're doing here as well. So if there are any final questions, thoughts, comments, If not, again, this is being recorded. It'll be on the website. You can listen to it. We also recorded the first info call, which was last week. We have the FAQ sheet. We'll add some questions from today to that. That'll be updated early next week. The timetable is all in the info document that went out. And, you know, we're available if questions come up later. Okay?
Thank you.
Everybody good?
Yes.
All right. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom. Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.